He is risen. And God's word has said it. He is risen. And it is true. And so the question that I want to ask you then this morning is, how do you know if you are a true Christian? How do you know if you are really a true follower of Christ? How do you know if you truly know Christ in a way that will bring you salvation? Perhaps maybe you've been through confirmation. Maybe you've paid your dues at church and you've grown up in the church. Perhaps you believe you're a Christian because you prayed a prayer sometime long ago in Sunday school, and yet there really is no power or evidence in your life of a change. Maybe you believe you're a Christian because you've been baptized. You know, you stood before everybody and were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's because you walked forward at a church camp or a youth rally or some conference. And yet God's word says, it is only by the grace of God that you could ever genuinely put your faith in Him for eternal life. Do you have maybe in the past made a decision? But if there's no life change, then Jesus says your decision is void. Maybe you believe you are a Christian because you believe all about Christ and all the facts about Christ. You believe that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, and that He was born of the Virgin Mary, and that He lived a perfect sinless life here on earth. And that he came and He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And maybe you believe in the resurrection as was just proclaimed to us so faithfully. Is that enough to save you? Is it enough to simply confess the facts? Is it enough to give some mental consent to the truth? Well, the passage this morning addresses this issue with absolute clarity. Many preachers, many churches today teach that all you have to do is believe. No matter if there's no change in your life at all. All you have to do is believe and you're in. And we're surrounded by even that culture here where it's God, guns, and country. You got it all. But what is it that Jesus, the one that perhaps you claim to follow, what is it that He says is required of those who would really be truly His disciples? What is the call that Jesus Himself makes upon your life if you truly want to be identified with Him? The answer is found in Matthew 16, 24 through 27. It says this: Then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Before I examine these verses with you this morning, I just want to set the context of what's going on here. I want you to see something that is absolutely essential to grasp the full weight of the text that is before us this morning. Back in verse 16 of chapter 16, Peter makes a significant confession. The Apostle Peter, the disciple of Jesus Christ. And in verses 13 through 17, this is what is written. Now, when Jesus came in the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Referring to himself. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." At this point, Peter and assumedly the disciples finally came to a realization of who Jesus was, that he was indeed the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one that was described all throughout the Old Testament, the one who would come and rescue his people, and that he was indeed the God-man, as he calls him, the Son of the living God. This being after roughly 2 years of his ministry with the disciples. And it was at this point in Jesus' ministry that he began plainly, as Moses told us already, to teach his 12 disciples the ultimate reason of why he had to come. In Matthew 16, 21, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." But see, for the disciples, the concept of Messiah, the concept of the Messiah coming and suffering at the hands of men, they didn't want to have anything to do with that. See, when they thought of the Messiah at that time, it simply meant true blessing, true comfort, true prosperity of life, really an ease of life, that he was going to come, establish his kingdom and reign, and all would be made right. But that was not to be the case upon his first coming. And that is why Jesus states in verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Why? "For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter was all focused on what Jesus was going to bring for him. And isn't that what is being proclaimed all over the world today? Just come to Jesus and you'll have everything you want. Come to Jesus and you'll have peace and prosperity and ease of life. All of your problems will go away. You can live however you want as long as you believe. And it's at this point that then Jesus turns to his disciples. His disciples. And remember Judas, the one who would betray him, being there as well. And Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And it's as if Jesus is drawing a line in the sand. And he's coming, saying, come, step over this line. If you really want to be my disciple, if you really want to be identified with me, it's not enough to just believe the facts. It's not enough to just know who I am. It's not enough to just want all the good things that come from being identified with Jesus Christ. If you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to be my follower, then you have to step over this line. That's what he's saying here in verse 24. If you really want to be identified with me in a saving way, if you really want to be with me forever, Jesus says, then you must step over the line and never go back. In other words, it's all or nothing. It's a total surrender, an absolute commitment, and a continual obedience. If you truly want to be a Christian, if you really want to settle that question in your heart and your mind this morning once and for all, then this passage is for you. Jesus in this passage gives you three demands that you must submit to in order to be his disciple and therefore receive true salvation. Three demands Jesus gives, and they are clear and they are plain. There is no way to mistake what Jesus is saying. And the first demand that Jesus gives is that of total surrender. Total surrender. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must totally surrender your will to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. He says, if anyone. The offer that Jesus makes is to all. If anyone. And he uses this condition, the word if there, as if to draw his disciples in. He's assuming this is true for the sake of the argument, and he's bringing them in. You really want to be my disciple? You really want to be identified with me, Peter? You really want to follow me? And he says, if anyone would come after me. That is to say, if anyone truly wants to be my follower, my adherent, one who is truly identified with me for all time and eternity. If anyone wishes to come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. This is a strong command. And it is a call to total surrender. To all out submission to Jesus as your Lord and your Master. It is you renouncing your sinful life, your lifestyle of sin. It's no longer about you and what pleases you. It's no longer about your own sinful flesh, but rather it is you dying to your sinful flesh and submitting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to say no to yourself and yes to God. And Jesus is being emphatic. This is not just some simple suggestion. You want eternal life? Here's one thing. You could follow me. You could just deny yourself. This is not Jesus sitting on the sidelines, crossing his fingers, hoping that you might pick him and add him to your life. It's not like adding a Facebook friend or some item to your agenda or something to believe in just to help you cope. I think I talked about this on Wednesday night once. When I was with Youth for Christ, I was involved in all sorts of camps I probably wouldn't be involved in unless they just let me preach and not give me the topic or anything. And we were sitting around, staff, talking together. And one lady on staff said, I had a girl come to Christ last night. And then she went on to tell us exactly what that looked like. She said, to come to Christ is like adding him to your MySpace. That's all she told her. Later on, the girl came to her. She's like, I did it. He's part of my life now. And if that girl would have died that night, she would have been in hell for all eternity because she had no clue the call that Jesus had upon her life to surrender all to Him. It's not that. It is Jesus saying, do it and do it now. Repent or suffer the consequences. Either turn from your sin or be condemned. To deny yourself is to submit your will completely to Jesus and His lordship, His will over your life. It is to lay your dreams, goals, passions, desires, plans, and all of your own selfish pride, all of your own self-trust, all of your own self-confidence, all at the feet of Christ, at His complete disposal, and give your life over to Him. What He says goes. It is you surrendering all that you are and all that you have to Christ's reign and rule over your life. It's not just believe in Him. It's not just believe the facts. It's a whole level of surrender to His lordship. You cannot hold on to a pattern of sin in your life and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can't live how you want and be a follower of Jesus Christ. And you can't trust in your own good works. You can't trust in maybe giving back to your own society or doing anything to try and earn God's favor. And you can't trust in your own self-centered motives or reasons to be a Christian, to be a true Christian. It is you coming to Christ on His terms. It's you adding, you coming to Him and surrendering all to Him, not just Him being added to your life. You have to totally surrender your life to Christ. And it is there that you really see the genuine faith that's talked about in John 3:16. Right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish and have eternal life. That belief is not just, okay, I know that Jesus came. It's a wholehearted commitment to follow Him. Second, the second command that Jesus gives is that of absolute commitment. He doesn't just call for total surrender. He calls for absolute commitment. You are either in or you are out. There is no gray area before God. There is no one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. There's no neutral ground when it comes to dealing with Jesus Christ. And so He says in verse 24 further, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. This is not referring to Jesus' cross. This is not the common trials or hardships or pains that we go through as being in a sin-cursed and fallen world. A cross is not having an unsaved husband, a nagging wife, or a domineering mother-in-law, as MacArthur said. That's not my words. You may have heard the phrase, it's just the cross I have to bear right now. That is not what Jesus is talking about. When it came to the cross in that day and age, it spoke of capital punishment for the condemned criminal. And it was something that the Jews, especially Jesus' disciples, would have been familiar with. In fact, it's even estimated that some 30,000 people were crucified during the lifespan of Jesus Christ. And to take up one's cross was something that the condemned criminal had to do. He would carry his own cross, get on his death march, and fall and go all the way to the point where he would be executed. This is the word picture that Jesus is giving. In other words, Jesus is saying that you have to be so committed to Me, even if it costs you your own very life. And again, in the original language here, Jesus is being very emphatic. He's saying, make this commitment and make it now. And it speaks of a wholehearted commitment to the point of death. You would be willing to risk your life for Christ if it came down to it. It is a call by Jesus to embrace His will, no matter the cost. And so I ask you, is this your commitment to Jesus Christ? Does this type of commitment, wholehearted devotion, absolute loyalty, describe your life and your relationship with Christ? Are you all in? Even if it costs you your job, your family, and even your own life? Are you all in? Are you sold out to the world for Jesus Christ? Earlier in his ministry in Matthew 10, Jesus says it this way. Matthew 10, 34 through 39 reads, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Does that sound like Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life? "And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is the line that Jesus is drawing. You want to be his disciple? You really want to be identified with him? Then it's going to cost you everything in this life. You have to be sold out. It's not enough just to show up to church on Sunday. He wants your life. And you must be committed to him. And if that type of commitment does not describe you, then you are not, no matter what you claim, you are not his disciple. Not only does Jesus call for total surrender, an absolute commitment, the third demand that Jesus gives is that of continual obedience. Continual obedience. He says further in verse 24, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Follow me. The term "follow" here means to follow someone who takes the lead. That is to adhere to or obey the instructions of the one who is leading you. And it speaks of obedience. Doing what is commanded or instructed of you. And Jesus here is expressing the continual nature of the command. With "deny yourself and take up your cross," he's saying, do it and do it now. With this command, he's saying, this has to be your life. Here Jesus is saying, continually obey or follow me. And that is to say, to truly follow Christ is not simply a one-time decision, but a daily commitment of obedience. Not to try and earn some salvation from him, but to demonstrate your true salvation. In other words, if your life is not characterized by obedience, I'm not just talking about being a good person. I'm not just talking about not causing a stir in the community or doing some horrible, wicked things. I'm talking about true love, obedience to Jesus Christ. That the reason you do everything that you do is out of a love and a complete loving obedience to Jesus Christ. It does not matter what type of profession of faith you have made, what prayer you have prayed, you must be obedient to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master and Savior if you want to be His disciple. I learned this in my life. When I was 6 years old, I was playing baseball with my brother. That meant me versus him. You know how that goes with baseball. Well, this time I finally hit it past him far enough for me to get all the way around. Scored, and then when I got to home plate, he asked me if I wanted to go to heaven or hell. Well, we grew up in Sunday school. At that point, I knew that I wanted heaven, not hell. So I said, heaven. He said, you just need to ask Jesus into your heart, and you can be saved. So I did that. Went to my dad, told him, I'm bouncing off the walls. Dad, I'm a Christian. Got baptized when I was 8 years old. And from that point forward, lived in complete rebellion to Christ. I would have said I loved Jesus. But all my friends knew I didn't. I didn't really care about God. I just loved Sundays because I was homeschooled, so that was the time I got to see my friends. Well, as I was 15 years old, one of my older friends who had a huge influence on my life ended up coming to Christ. He turned 18 right as the Twin Towers got struck down, and so he was like, what if I get called into war? And he was terrified. What's going to be of my life? And he quoted to me John 14:15, which says, where Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And in the past, I would have just said, well, I just rededicated my life to Christ. But at that moment, something changed inside of me. All of a sudden, I had a hatred for the continual pattern of sin in my life. All of a sudden, it was like night after night, I was on the floor pleading with God, please take this wickedness from me. What am I doing to you? And I couldn't get enough of the book of Philippians, constantly reading it, constantly seeing the joy and the devotion of the Apostle Paul. When I got to seminary at Grace Community Church, on their application to become a member, it says, have you been baptized as a Christian? I thought back, not if I was baptized when I was 8. Talked to the pastor that was over me there. And as a seminary student, got to profess, I'm surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and identify myself with Him in baptism as a true follower of Christ. God changed my life, and that's the only way that I could have ever surrendered my life to Him. He had to do a work in me, like he tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you have to be born again, and that's not something you do. It's passive. It's something that has to be done to you. If you really want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it must be your character of obedience to Him. Is it the character and joy of your life to obey Jesus? If not, then you need to do some real heart searching. Don't go past this day. Don't just check out and think of all the great food you're going to have and all the fun times with your family that you might have. Don't just go past this moment where you're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ confront your soul and just leave it by the wayside. Oh, it's just another message I have to hear. If you don't love to obey Jesus Christ, then you should question whether you know Him. Are you really His disciple? But Jesus does not stop there. He doesn't give up. He doesn't let up. He continues to build his case for why you must submit to his demands. It's not because he's just going to be disappointed with you or that you're going to let him down. And it's not because you're not going to get everything you ever wanted in this life. Here he calls your entire eternity to the carpet. And he says in verse 25, verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Your very life for all eternity is at stake if you do not adhere to these commands. He's not giving you the option. You either submit or you will pay for it. Because we deserve it. Because we are sinners who are worthy only of God's wrath. And he says, whoever would save his life, to save one's life, that it speaks of preserving one's life. And it's speaking of your present life. One who wants to hold on to this life and what it has to offer over and beyond what God has called you to in true obedience and faith to him. If you want to hold on to these things, then he says, you will lose it. He goes from the present to the future. You want to hold on to this life now? You want to not adhere to the commands that I just gave you? You want to leave your life up to that? If you decide to save your life now and not be sold out for Christ, truly become his disciple, then one day you will lose it all. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You want eternal life? Submit your life to him. Not only that, verse 26, he goes even further. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give if he, in return for his soul? In other words, there's no eternal benefit in living for this life. And he paints this picture. What if, just what if you had everything that this world has to offer? What if by your own effort, you were able to attain the sum total of all the riches that this world had to offer, but you never submitted to Jesus Christ? Says, what benefit will that be to you? What aid will that be to you for all eternity? Moses quoted from James before, our lives are but a vapor. Tell me what it is for 90 years in comparison to forever. You hold on to this present life rather than being sold out to Jesus Christ. And he says, there is no benefit for you in eternity. Eternity, I will not be there for your aid. In fact, I'll be the one condemning you. In Luke 18, it talks of the rich young ruler Jesus encountered. And the rich young ruler comes to him and says, what must I do to be saved, basically? And Jesus says, obey all the commands I've given to you. He's like, I've done that. I'm committed to honoring my father and mother. I'm committed to obeying you. I've done that with my life. And then Jesus tells him, go and sell all that you have and follow me. And that young, rich ruler walked away completely devastated because he had so much in this world. Jesus was saying, not that you have to give all your money in order to get to heaven, but rather you have to be so committed to me that it costs you everything. And that man was not willing to give it up. Verse 27 takes it even further, bringing in the sober reality. Verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. the one who just gave you these commands is coming back. The Son of Man, the one who is to reign for all eternity, I'm coming back and I'm going to repay you for all that you did with these commands. I'm going to keep you accountable to what you have heard. And so he says the Son of Man is going to come. And Jesus being absolutely emphatic, just as sure as you seeing me standing here right now, I am going to come back. And he's coming back, notice this, with his angels. His angels. He's the one that rules all. And he's coming back in the glory of his Father, the full weightiness and significance of the Father. And when he comes back, there will be no mistake of who he is. This time it's not going to be as a baby in a manger or coming to some obscure town in the town of Bethlehem. No, he is coming back in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and everybody's going to know this is the Christ. But if you did not give your life to him in this life, then it will be too late for you. And it says, and he will repay each person according to what he has done. For the believer, reward, eternal life. For the true Christian, the genuine follower of Christ, reward, eternal life. For all the fakes, for all those who are not willing to submit themselves to Jesus, for all those who hang on to their pride and never give in to him, for all those who know Jesus Christ, who know the truth about his death and his resurrection, but never commit their will to following him, for them it is an eternity of torture and judgment that not all of hell could pay for your sins. It'll be eternity. And God will be glorified either way. For most of us, I pray that this is a reminder of the commitment you have made to Christ. I hope this calls us as Christians here this morning to a new level of commitment to Christ. That we have been given much, and so we can give much. That this Christ, the one that has raised from the dead, the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is who you have committed to. That this life is not about us. That this world is not everything. That it is going to end, and so we should be more sold out, more devoted, more wholly committed to our Lord and Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. But for some of you, this is a wake-up call. Some of you, hopefully, have walked in this morning thinking you're okay and have encountered the Son of the Living God and realized you're not. For some of you, this is a complete affront to your pride and to what you've been basing your entire eternity on. Some of you probably will do nothing with this. You'll hear this message, you'll walk out again and just go back to your own selfish life. And you'll miss it. You'll miss it. And when the Son of Man comes back, he's coming back to be your judge. But there may be one of you that hears these words of Christ, not my words. Jesus himself saying, here's the line. Come to me. Don't hold on to your own selfish desires and wants. Don't hold on to your sin any longer. Don't hold on to your false profession and your false conversion and your hope of what happened in the past. Come to me now. Full surrender. Full commitment. This life is all about God and His glory. And if you will surrender to that in full, humble repentance and faith, He will save you. Come to Him today. Don't delay another moment. Don't push away what Jesus has so graciously called you to. You're here in this moment with this truth. May God change your heart. Father, what is man that you take thought of him? Lord, our lives are but a vapor. We deserve nothing. Because we have sinned. And we have fallen short of your glory. God, in your grace, you have given us the truth. You have not left one person in the dark here this morning. They know. They know your word is clear. And God, I pray that you would do only what you could do, that you would reach down and grip one sinful soul this morning and bring them to you. Lord, pluck a sinner from his destiny of wrath. Save someone this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. And so we submit to your authority over our lives with great joy because of what Christ has done. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.